This episode is brought to you by Ursa Minor Outfitters. Folks, I'm absolutely in love with my Loon mug. It's handmade. It's an absolute piece of art. Whether it's at the office or at the house, people keep asking to check it out. If you're not a Loon fan, they also have other beautiful mugs for wildlife fans of moose, bears, and eagles. They specialize in products highlighting the outdoors and local pride through quality design by local artists. They've even started expanding into items beyond mugs, like apparel, dog accessories, and soon candles and more. They also try to partner and highlight other small businesses, and in some cases, forgo profits in lieu of charitable giving to help their community, such as the dog rescue. So check them out, ursaminoroutfitters.com, and enter promo code HIKESMIKES10 at checkout to receive 10% off your order. And for our four-legged hiking partners, they also have a portable silicone dog bowl and also a sweet over-the-collar dog bandana. Go check them out, ursaminoroutfitters.com, and don't forget to enter promo code HIKESMIKES10 at checkout to receive 10% off your order. Welcome everyone to the Hikes and Mikes podcast. I'm your host, Ivan, and together we'll embark on a weekly journey connecting with extraordinary hikers from all corners of the U.S. and beyond. As a warm embrace of summer envelops the Northern Hemisphere, we've had the privilege of conversing with remarkable individuals throughout this season. Their experiences and adventures will leave you yearning to hit the trails. And in today's Season 3 finale, we're talking to an amazing individual who has called home to two of my favorite places, Arizona and Hawaii. Her name is Sherry, and you can follow her on Instagram at Ninja Hiker Girl. Sherry shares with us some of her favorite places to hike in and around Arizona, including a personal favorite of mine, South Mountain. She also shares about her hikes out to Weaver's Needle and Quartz Peak. 2 years ago, she moved across the Pacific to the Big Island of Hawaii and shares with us her experience witnessing Mauna Loa erupting this year. Without further ado, let's jump into this episode with our guest, Sherry. Welcome, everyone, to the latest episode of the Hikes and Mikes podcast. I'm really excited about this episode because we're going back to the islands and we're going to be talking with Sherry, very inspirational person who has lived in two areas that have been really special to me. That's Hawaii and Arizona. Thank you, Sherry, for coming on the podcast. You know, we always like to start off with our guests by asking them how they got started hiking and how long they've been hiking for.
Well, thanks for having me, first of all. This is pretty exciting to share all my hiking experiences. I started hiking about 5 years ago. I lived across the street from South Mountain, which I absolutely love that area. I basically lived across the street from South Mountain and had gained a lot of weight, ran a marathon, and then was pretty much sedentary for 10 years. And so I didn't really realize how big I got until I went hiking with my brother and got a picture snapped of us. And I was like, okay, so I need to start doing something. And so I did a calorie counter app on my phone and I started running again, like just a mile. You start off small and work your way up. Yeah. And John, my husband, he said, well, do you want to go hike South Mountain? And I said, I guess I'll try it. When I came back and entered the activity into the calorie counter, you burn 3 times more calories hiking than you would any cardio. Like within the span of a year, I would go and hike Geronimo and get farther and farther until I reached the end alone. Because South Mountain is great like that. It's just right across the street. You get to see beautiful views of the valley. And I lost like probably, I don't know. So I'm 5'1½", maybe 3/4". Mm-hmm. And I weighed 160 pounds. So I lost 20 pounds in the first year. Yeah. So I started hiking to lose weight. And then I joined a girl group, hiking group called Hiker Babes, and went on a couple hikes with them. Well, then on South Mountain, I saw the Chuckwalla. And so the Chuckwalla has really motivated me. I saw this really big lizard on the ledge of a rock and I like got on my stomach to take a picture of it. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know whether it was venomous or not, but I really like lizards. So I also used to grab rocks. This is before the Leave No Trace. So I would never dislodge a rock, but I would grab a rock from the mountain for every hike just because it was like a reward, you know, like for getting outside and being active. Then when I saw the Chuckwalla, I stopped taking rocks and I learned about Leave No Trace and stuff. So I didn't bring the rocks back, but like, So the motivation was to see the Chuckwallas. And then I just started on Instagram and looking at people's hikes and people would ask, oh, have you done Picket Post? Have you done Battleship? Have you done this, that, whatever? And so I went to do Flatiron. It was the first hike in the Superstition. And I was like, oh my God, like that trail is so freaking hard. Every time I do it, I've done it like 4 or 5 times. It is hard every time. And there's always a bottleneck at the top. But the challenge of all of that is what kept me hiking in the superstitions. I just did Battleship. I did the Arizona Bootleg 100, where you do 100 miles in 100 days. I did it 33. Wow. I flew in from Hawaii, hiked a bunch. Actually, with my brother, we hiked up to the base of Weaver's Needle. That was really cool. You go up Peralta and go up and over, and then on the backside of Fremont Saddle, then you just keep hiking to the base of Weaver's Needle. So, I think it's just the challenge of it. I like the challenge, the endurance. I have no concept of time or distance. So it makes it kind of funny to hike with me because I can just go forever with my Altoids, my extra water.
Sherry, one thing that I've noticed, especially when it comes to Maricopa County hikes, is South Mountain doesn't get the attention that some of the other peaks and some of the other parks there in the Phoenix metro area. What were some of your favorite trails on South Mountain?
I love Hulbert because I could walk to Hulbert if you access it through Mineral Road, which is right off of Dobbins on 7th Street. You basically bypass, the flat section and go past the water tank. And what I love the most about it is that you see so much along that hike. South Mountain is so beautiful. First of all, there's different rock formations, like different types of rocks. So it's like a geologist's dream because there's 3 sections of South Mountain that all have different rocks, types of rocks. But Hulbert's great because then you reach Dobbins Lookout and you get to see like the whole valley. I've done the South Mountain point to point 2 or 3 times. I can't remember.
Wow.
And it's phenomenal. I would recommend that because you get to see all of South Mountain. You see the west side, you see center. That's probably one of my favorite hikes is the point to point.
How long does that take, Sherry?
Because I don't have any concept of time. It could be like 6 hours. It could be because it's like 16 miles or something like that. Could be 6 hours, could be 8 hours. It just because I get distracted and take a lot of pictures and forget it if I see a chakwala or a lizard or a bug. It's just because I like to see everything in its natural habitat. That's what people don't realize is that there's so many animals at South Mountain, the coyotes, the javelinas. It's like a little micro ecosystem in the valley, that's pretty much unaffected. You haven't seen it. God forbid there's ever a wildfire at South Mountain. But yeah. South Mountain is unaffected by it. You see the superstitions get wildfires. You see, other areas get wildfires, but South Mountain is good. It's like it's always maintained and sustained the wildlife there. So Hulbert, Mormon is a good one if you can go during the week when it's not crowded. And then there's a couple on the Ahwatukee side that I just don't remember. But basically, I stuck between the Hulbert and Mormon just because those trails have the highest density of chakwalas. That you're going to see.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You don't see them because they blend with the rock. I think maybe through, evolution, they blend with the rock there. But people don't ever notice them until they hike with me. And then they're like, oh, my God, he's right there. And it's like, oh, yeah. I totally wanted to do a David Attenborough satire with me popping up behind a chakwala, and then still talking about
it. Oh, that'd be great. Now, Sherry, you've already mentioned it. And, for our listeners that don't know about Flatiron, it is a brutal hike in the sense that really the only maintained trail is up to the base of the mountain. And then you have to go up Siphon Draw, which is just basically all rock and boulder scrambling. How was it approaching Flatiron the first time? And has it changed in difficulty subsequently?
That's a good question. I'm not going to lie. I cried. I called my friend. So we got to Siphon Draw, and then my husband, he says, when he's done, he's done. And so I'm always like, I'll be right back. I did that with Picket Post, too, just because I'm so dead set on getting to the top. Mm-hmm. And I got to that fork where the bottleneck is, and I could not figure out how to get over that. And so I called my friend, Pam, and I talked to her and her husband, and I was crying. I went with this girl and she already made it to the top. She was like, go, just go ahead. I'll catch up. And eventually this guy helped me up. And that was the very first time. And I was like, wow, it's amazing. It's so amazing. And then it was like, I didn't even think about getting down, but down wasn't as daunting. I don't even know what, now the second time and the third time and subsequently after that, it's not as intimidating. The second time I went with my brother and we did the ridgeline. We did the Superstition Ridgeline. And so it didn't even occur to me how hard it was in that section. I was aware of that section, but I passed the section and realized, oh, that hard part where I cried like a damn baby. Yeah, Like I had already like gotten up and over that. So,
you know, the other one that you've mentioned that you got a chance to visit, I never got a chance to hike out there, but it's on my bucket list, and that's Weaver's Needle. You know, going up to Payson, you can see it from miles away from the highway. How was it reaching Weaver's Needle out in the Superstitions?
It's such a landmark. You know, you can see it from almost every trail. So it's pretty flat. Like when you bump over Fremont Saddle, I didn't realize it was like, how do you describe it? It's a steep incline, and it's there's not really any trails. There's a lot of cairns, or however you pronounce it, but there's not really any specific trail that leads you up to the base, but it is very steep and it's a lot of loose rock. I'm not going to lie. I used to be if I saw something that I thought was daunting, straight on the ass, I'd do the crab walk. Yeah. I had a big fear of heights when I first started doing some of these hikes. It was just like some of the more challenging ones were really overwhelming. And then everybody's going to think I'm a crier. When I did Brown's Peak at Four Peaks and I got to the top, I started crying because I was like, I realized I didn't have that fear of heights. I overcame that. It was gone. Wow. It was almost like a light switch.
You know, the other peak that really caught my attention, and again, it's on my bucket list next time I'm in Arizona, and that's Quartz Peak, which is just an amazing peak with quartz rock on the summit.
It's one massive quartz rock and everything else is just beige, brown, whatever. The views are, they're okay. It's kind of like Picacho Peak, you know, views are okay. And this is how I would describe it even now, is that it's like Piestewa on steroids.
The elevation gain on it is pretty intense, right?
Yeah. Although it's pretty gradual. It's, you know, you're reaching towards the quartz. You don't see it like the whole trail because you're kind of winding around. And then you have to kind of just do a little rock scrambling and then you're there and it's slippery because the box is like right behind the quartz. So, I mean, you have to kind of, you know, you just kind of ooze off, you know, because it's super slippery. The quartz is slippery. So you just have to try to find some traction, but it's beautiful. It's one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen.
Yeah. You know, you zoomed into some of the rocks that's on the summit and it just shimmered the color, especially on a sunny day. It looked amazing up there. Now, Cheri, you've talked about this, but something that really caught my attention on your feed is that you've taken some really beautiful pictures of not just the chuckwallas, but different types of lizards and other species there in Arizona. How has it been coming across that wildlife and taking pictures of them? Because it almost seems like they're posing for you.
I wish they were. They have such a funny expression. They kind of look like they're like F you. You know, like the FU look, like, what are you doing? Like, you know, they have the half lid going and they're, but I think that it's just observing. I mean, that's probably the only time I'm patient. When I see something and I want to see what it does and I've never seen it before, I have a spotted Sonoran lizard, which they're all female. And so they basically clone. They lay clutches and they clone themselves. Like I'll like take a picture and then I'll look it up later. And so I think it's just patience. Like the chuckwallas for sure. Like during the pandemic, I literally was on Mormon and Holbert and sitting on a rock. You know, people would walk by and probably wonder what I was doing. And it wasn't far up the trail. It was like a rock, like right off the trail. And just wait, because I knew where all their little places were. So basically, I'm a stalker. I'm a wildlife stalker. But I don't like to disrupt them or their habitat. I just, you know, I wait for them.
You've got a chance to explore other regions of Arizona outside of Maricopa County. What are some of your more memorable visits there in AZ?
I did Humphreys Peak with my son. So he was up at NAU going to college and I had already tried it with my husband. And again, it's like one of those things where it's like, if when John's done, he's done and that's okay. But I definitely was not going to try to do Humphreys. We were like 500 feet from the saddle. So I wasn't going to do it alone. You know, I knew it was, you know, it's the highest peak in Arizona. So I planned it with my son who was living in Flagstaff and he went with his one bottle of water in his Vans, you know, like he's in his 20s, you know, and I was like all geared up. Yeah. And that was one of the best memories I've ever had. Not only because it was a lot easier with him doing it that time, but we met a really cool group of ladies that have done it before. They were doing all the Arizona Trail and just like kind of like tagging with them when you're hiking, you know, and you're talking. And this fall summits were interesting. It was like you're barreling over one after another, you know? And so, but like getting to the top. So my son, of course, with his Vans and his one bottle of water made it. And then we were coming back and I knew that we probably stayed too long at the peak. And I totally puked at the saddle. Like, I think it was the elevation sickness. That was like one of the best hikes I've ever done, aside from the puking. I didn't cry though. So that's good.
Now, you know, another place that's a little further south of Flagstaff that you also got a chance to hike and explore is Sedona. What's your experience has been in and around Sedona?
Oh man, I love Sedona. But Sedona has gotten so crowded, I think, because of the Graham, that it's really hard to find a trail that is not crowded. But the best trail I ever did, and this is with my buddy Becky, is Capitol Butte, which is actually doing Thunderbird Mountain. So the first, like probably the first third of it is a trail. And then the rest of it's all rock scrambling. It's insane. Yeah. She's pretty fast. So I was like, just go, you know, I was like, have it. It's such a quick elevation gain, but it's so worth it. It's 2,500 elevation gain or 2,000 to 2,500. I mean, there's ferns everywhere, but it's all rock scrambling. Like, you know, once you're past that one, I know it's insane. I hike with a lot of different people. And everybody's different. And I enjoy hiking with all of them. Like, if I want a challenge, I'm going to hit up Becky. I mean, like,
she'll
if I
push
wanna
you.
Die or like come close to it, I'm going to hit up Becky.
Now, Sherry, you got a chance to explore other areas of the Southwest. And one place that it's on my bucket list, you know, I made it out to Valley of Fire State Park. But the next place when I go to Vegas is to visit Red Rock Canyon. Now, you had a pretty harrowing experience there on the trail. How was it exploring the region? And what can you tell us about the experience that you had there?
I have been to Vegas before. I didn't know Red Rock existed. I did a little bit of research. I went on All Trails and saw Guardian Angel Pass. And I just thought that would be the shortest and quickest and see the most out of the canyon, you know, and get an idea of what it was. And plus I saw like on All Trails, someone took a picture of a Chukwala and I was like, oh, they're different over there. So of course I was like, let's do this one. You know, I always have extra water. And my husband and I were out there and it was in June or July. So it was hot and we got a late start. It was like around 9 o'clock. It was under 100 degrees and we hiked in Arizona. So we thought, oh, okay, well, we should be okay. We're experienced hikers. Well, it's not a trail. Like you basically are going up and over the canyon. So we scrambled up and we went over and it was like all scrambling. And it wasn't like you'd think that you could find, you know, get back on the trail. And it wasn't like that at all. Like, I mean, it was like you were dumped out in the middle of like nowhere. You saw like little viewpoints because there's a road that goes through Red Rock where people can take pictures and stuff. But like in Vegas, like when you're on the strip, everything seems a lot closer than it really is, you know?
Yeah.
And so my husband had enough. He was like, you're fully exposed. It was like over 100 degrees. I think it was like 105 or 6 or something like that. And so he said, take the truck keys and here's the rest of my water. We're running low on water. And I was like, okay, well, tell me where to go. Well, you don't have any cell service out there. And so I didn't have the map. I didn't know where to go. And so I was just basically wandering in this dirt field, you know, around. I was like on the side of the canyon. So finally got to the point where I was just so overheated and heat exhausted that I was like flagging that. You could hear like people in the background, like construction building in the background. You could kind of see it in the distance. I was like yelling at them for help. I'd see like a plane like flying over and I'd wave my arms. And then I finally like was like, okay, I need to just get to a road. So I managed to traverse across. I didn't go back in the canyon because the canyon is hot. Like once it gets really hot, those rocks absorb all the heat. And once you're in the middle of the canyon, I mean, it would be like way more hotter than it is out in the open. So, and nobody would find you in the canyon either. So basically I got to the road and I was like, I was flagging down people because I didn't know where the trail headed. At this point, I was totally heated. I had no idea where I was. And the one car stopped and this guy's like, is this a joke? And he basically like didn't give me a ride. I was like, I just need a ride to the trailhead. And he like said, is this a joke? And then drove off. And so I kept walking down this road. I mean, when you're heat exhausted, you don't, whatever would be familiar, easy, whatever, any recall in your memory whatsoever is gone. Like, I mean, it was horrible. I was like dizzy. I was freezing. I was getting the chills. So I sat down and on this rock and there's a horse ranch, like somewhere around this horse was in the back. And I was like, okay. You know, I'm like, I was talking to the horse. It sounds crazy, but I was. And then I was getting ready to make a video to my kids because I really thought I was going to die. But I wanted to let them know that I, you know, this is what happened. And so then I decided like the last like valuable thought in my mind was to hold my bladder up because it was empty. So I held up my bladder and this lady in the truck, there's barely any traffic. And she saw that and she stopped. And thankfully she gave me a cold bottle of water, gave one for me to give to John and took me to the trailhead. And the first thing she said to me, I was like, so grateful. I was so utterly grateful. It was like, before she came, I literally thought there's no way I'm ever getting back to the truck. I don't know where John is. The takeaway from that is to never separate, never separate. I'm never like I'm never going to be the one to go get the, you know, truck from now on because you should never separate. I mean, as much as I like to be alone, I mean, I moved to the middle of the jungle to be alone. And when you're hiking a hike like that, it's like when something's hard or isolated area and you know, with, you know, the environment against you with the heat and everything else. Like, it just wasn't a smart move. And I don't regret it. I actually wanted to go back, and I do want to go back. One of my most favorite places to be is Red Rock. Did I see a chuck ball? No, I did not. It was too hot for the chuck balls.
Oh, well, I'm glad that person was able to see your bladder and give you a ride. And yeah, harrowing experience. And you just don't know. Like, that was one thing for me living in Arizona. A day that's 100 degrees is still hikeable as long as you carry enough water. But once it gets like 105 and up, it's a different beast.
And your body temperature is, you know, I was probably on the brink of a heat stroke. Like, I just remember, like, after that, I was like, all I want is like McDonald's French fries and a Coke. You know, like,
now, you know, you mentioned this, but you're recording from the Big Island of Hawaii. How is island life treating you?
Actually, I've been here for almost 2 years. We bought this house and the 3-acre spaghetti lot sight unseen. So my husband, he works in Kauai. He got a job in Kauai. So he was on that island and I was off grid alone. And the place was kind of a dump. It was some dude's hunting cabin, you know. So gotcha. For the first 9 months, I learned a lot about a water pump, off grid living. I had to dump a fridge that was leaking Freon and doing a lot of woodworking. That's how I started the woodworking. So the off-grid stuff was quite an adjustment coming from Arizona and living in like, you know, a 2,200 square foot home to like a 540 square foot home. But I don't regret it at all. I will never move back to mainland. People ask me that all the time. I'm like, no, I'll never move back. Because I think the best part about it, I'm going to be real honest with you, is that nobody asks me where I'm from. When I was in Arizona, I actually was on a school board. So like, and I remember they were like, oh, you're the first Asian to be elected on the school board. And I was like, you know, because I'm adopted. And grew up in North Scottsdale. So it, like, to be identified racially was very strange to me and seemed very, it felt very foreign. I lived in Northeast Mesa, Scottsdale, Tempe, and then South Phoenix. And I would probably say my favorite place in Arizona where I lived was South Phoenix. I mean, it is the best. You have the mountain, you know. But like I said, nobody ever asked me, oh, where are you from? And it's nice.
You know, the Big Island, it really is its name, especially when you visit the other islands. Once you make it out to the Big Island, you're like, have to navigate the perimeter. It is a full day's journey.
I would love to hike the perimeter of the Big Island. I've been looking at that. When I go and to the beach, I usually hit up Richardson's because they have the best snorkeling, bar none, on the island. Like, I've gone to Kona and Hilo's the side, has the cleaner water, has a sea turtle cove, but I've traversed across all that lava rock. Mm-hmm. I would say that is probably on my bucket list, is hiking the perimeter of the Big Island. There's some of it's a little iffy because it's like there's private property, but that would be an amazing thing. I've never backpacked before, so that would be a first. I never done it just because I don't want to bury my own shit.
And you know, the Big Island is probably the few places you can actually do a multi-day backpacking trip.
Yeah. Well, Kauai. So I was in Kauai and there's so many really cool trails, but now you need a permit. And if you're not a resident. And so it's like, I think it's like 2 years out right now. Oahu, I went once and, but it was in Waikiki. So it wasn't. Maui, I love. Every island has a vibe. And I mean, they live with the island that they vibe with. I vibe with the Big Island. I vibe with the simplicity of it, the low maintenance of it. I mean, there's so much opportunity here. And yes, it's a little primitive. It's okay though. You know, I mean, we're all a little feral.
Now, Sherry, you've got to witness some amazing events there on the Big Island. This year, you got to experience Mauna Loa reawakening and erupting. How was that? Because the picture that you took at night was awesome.
So it's kind of funny because I watch a lot of the History Channel. I'm a nerd like that. I watch on YouTube, Mega Disasters. And they were saying like that show had premiered like 6 years ago. And they were saying that Mauna Loa was going to erupt. And Arizona doesn't get earthquakes. So I felt the first earthquake and I was like, oh, that's crazy. Like, it happens so fast, you don't even know what's going on. When Mauna Loa erupted, we get these civil defense messages and it was magnificent to see. Like, you had to go through the military, they annex a roadway for you to go and view it. It was phenomenal. It was like, it's like, it almost seems surreal to look at, you know, there's lava coming down this mountain. And then you see people like walking out and traversing the lava rock. And it's still a military base. So there's a lot of undetonated ordnances over there. So probably not the safest thing to go look at lava up close, but it is to see it from like the distance in the designated area. It was unlike anything I've ever seen. Like, Kilauea is erupting. And yeah, it's beautiful as well. something about Mauna Loa. When you're driving to Kona, you're taking the 11, you're just basically going in between the Mauna Kea and Mauna Loa. Mauna Loa is just absolutely stunning. I have so many pictures that I haven't posted yet of Mauna Loa because I just feel connected with Mauna Loa, you know?
And you mentioned that, you know, Kilauea recently started erupting again. Have you had a chance to go see its eruption?
I have not. And the reason why is because I try to avoid crowds. I think a lot with my ADHD, it's kind of like if I'm around a lot of people and there's too many people, it's like I can't think about anything but just like getting out. So if I were to go see Kilauea, which I should have gone probably when it first erupted, when the fountains were high, would be in the middle of the night because Hawaii Volcanoes National Park is open 24/7. So yeah. I have not even hiked in the Hawaii Volcanoes National Park at all. Like I haven't like on my list of stuff to do, but yeah. It's a homestead. There's always something that you have to take care of. I'm definitely going to check it out. I mean, I have a membership to the national park. I just haven't had a chance to get over there, especially for someone that cannot focus. You have the ocean, you have mountains, you have the jungle, you have so many different ecosystems on the big island that it's just so hard to choose one.
One of the facts about the big island that always intrigued me was it's one of the few places on Earth that has every single type of climate except Arctic. Tropical, you got the alpine up top, a little bit of everything. Yeah, you know, researching about the Kilauea eruption, and this is a crazy fact to even think because I want to say the big island, it's less than 250,000 residents, right?
Yeah.
The first 24 hours of Kilauea's eruption, over 20,000 people visited Volcano National Park, which is just blows my mind.
That is pretty insane. I know the viewing area was very crowded. I know that there's one area that just kind of overlooks the caldera, and that place was insanely crowded. But I love it. I love people to go to the national parks because all of the fees that they pay support everything about the national park and the trails and things like that. And so it's like, yeah, bring it. I mean, the tourism is big in Hawaii anyway. It's year round. There's no real season to come to Hawaii unless you're just whale watch. Oh, and just something for your listeners is that the whales are migrating. When you travel to Hawaii and you want to see the whales, like they're only here for a certain amount of time and then they go away. So don't sign up for whale watching if it's not in the right season. Because you're not going to see them.
Now, Sherry, one thing that definitely has gotten your interest over the last couple of months has been bouldering. And you started going to a couple of climbing gyms. I've seen a lot of hikers in the last couple of years make that transition to include some sort of climbing into their outdoor activities. How has it been getting involved into the bouldering community?
I think it is a natural progression if that's the type of hiking you do. But hiking is hiking. So it's, you can enjoy nature and hike easy, medium, moderate, hard. It doesn't matter. You're still a hiker. First of all, I wanted to throw that out there because sometimes I think people are like, well, I'm not a hiker. I just walk a trail. Well, you're still hiking. So, you know, you're still a hiker. I think it is a natural progression, especially with the rock scrambling and stuff. So I'm not a sport climber. I don't like gear. I just don't want to haul that stuff. Like, you know, you see, and I respect the sport tremendously. I mean, you're basically hiking like, you know, 5, 6, 7, 10 miles to get to your point. And then you have to rig everything with your 100 carabiners that weigh like a gazillion pounds. So I respect that. I like the mental challenge of bouldering. The gyms were interesting. I enjoyed the gym. It's a locally owned gym. The owners are great, the Big Island Climbing Gym. And it's a good way for me, because I'm not hiking in Hawaii, it's a good way for me to exert some of the pent up spazzy energy that I have and to kind of focus on, you know, what is it exactly I'm trying to do? I'm not that great at it. It's only been 4 months. I'm not great at it, but there's Nadia. I always learn so much from her. A lot of it's just watching other people climb. But I think this bouldering thing is definitely going to be something I'm going to stick with. I enjoy it so much. And I think if any hiker wanted to do it, I would strongly suggest going to a gym first and falling a lot, because falling the right way and falling a lot takes the fear out of getting to the top, if that makes sense. Like I would say, you know, go, why don't you go fall off like, you know, Brown's Peak and not bounce. Like that is a no.
Now, you know, some day hikers have a regular routine that they sometimes do, whether it's at the summit or maybe once they make it back out, maybe it's a favorite meal, trail brews, or even just a moment of zen. Is there a regular thing that you do when you reach your summit or maybe when you make it back out?
I usually slow jog towards the end. Because I just, I mean, like, I do. And then I, like, narrate while I slow jog. I'm, like, slow jogging, slow jogging, slow jog. Because usually I take my pictures at the tail end of a hike. Like, a lot of times, like, if I'm going uphill, I'm going to take a lot of pictures because I'm going uphill. I'm trying to breathe. Yeah. You know, like, I need a break. And usually downhill, I'll take pictures if I miss something or the light's not right. I'm not a photographer, but like I go through, you know, my pictures, other people's pictures. I like that feeling of being there, you know, like that moment, that memory of being and standing at the top of somewhere, you know, or on the way back, like the battleship hike on the way back. It was brutal, but it was still memorable, you know? So I do, like towards the end when I'm just like done, I slow jog it. And I'm
sucking, I like that.
I'm drinking my water and I'm slow jogging.
I like it. I like it. Now, we're halfway through 2023 when we're recording this, Sherry. Do you have any upcoming hiking goals or outdoor goals for the remainder of the year?
My goal for bouldering would be to get up to V5 and then eventually go outside and either crag or boulder somewhere, you know, on the Big Island somewhere. Another goal of mine would be to actually hike. There's a couple hikes in Kona that I've been looking at, but it's the driving, you know, but then when you think about it, it's the same amount of time you spend driving the Superstitions when you live in South Phoenix, you know, it's like, so it's just different, you know, you have a different perspective when you're here. So it's like, oh, I'm going to drive out, you know, all the way to Kona, but it's like the same distance you would drive to like Sedona. And I want to do more diving. I would like to snorkel more. I like the video. I mean, we have so many beautiful fish. I don't even know what they are, but they're just, it's amazing to be underwater. You drop down to like 10 feet and like you can hear your own heartbeat once you hear your ears go and you know, like it's just quiet. And I love that. Probably want spearfish just because I'm a really bad shot. So.
Well, Sherry, that was it for the regular questions. This last portion of the podcast is the this or that questions. I'm going to give you two hiking related topics and you just choose the one that you prefer out of the two. So the first one is, do you prefer ascending or descending?
Descending.
And how about waterfalls or summits?
Summit.
And when it comes to the trails, do you prefer switchbacks or straight up?
That's a good question. Switchbacks are just kind of like, man, it would just be, yeah, straight up.
Are you team trek poles or team freehand?
I think it just depends on the individual hiker. I probably would benefit from trekking poles because my knees, you know, but I also use them as little swords and it's like another thing to distract me and I usually swing them around and people are ducking, dodging and, you know, so I think if you need them, use them.
And then when it comes to your footwear, are you trail runners or hiking boots?
I'm a trail runner.
Now, when it comes to coming across bodies of water, do you jump in or do you stay dry?
Oh, you jump in. What the heck?
And this one's tough because on the Big Island, you get both of them. And Arizona is known for their sunsets, but sunsets or sunrises?
I'm a morning person, so I really like a good sunrise. But so I would say the sunrises in Arizona are phenomenal and the sunsets in Hawaii are phenomenal. So Arizona sunrise, Hawaii sunset.
And then do you prefer spring flowers or fall colors?
Spring flowers, probably.
And then this last one, we've kind of touched on it, but when it comes to social media, do you tag a hike or do you not tag a hike?
Okay, this is a good question because when I'm in Arizona, I hike out in the gold fields, but I would never be able to navigate my way through the gold fields. I go at the invitation of others. When that happens, I do not geotag. It's still all Tonto National Forest. My friends, they do a lot of research on the hikes. They put in the legwork for it. And I think that geotagging would be somewhat disrespectful relative to the work that they put in and invite me to go. If I go on a hike, it's like a relatively known hike, I put in, oh yeah, I hike Mormon or Dobbins or, you know, Holbert or anywhere in South Mountain just because I love South Mountain.
So that was it for the this or that questions, Sherry. If folks want to follow your journeys, not just on the Big Island, but also when you make it back to Arizona, what are some of the best places they can find you and follow you online?
Basically just Instagram. So when I was in Hiker Babes, I hiked up Mormon. I was behind the group and then I ended up like ducking, dodging. I like came back down the trail and I was already at the trailhead. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh my God, you're like a ninja. So my handle is Ninja Hiker Girl. And I do have I have a YouTube channel, but I haven't done anything yet with it because I think it's off for living with ADHD because when I first moved here, I recorded my phone, you know, as going around the property. I'm like, this is awkward living with, you know, and I like tripped over a bunch of tree roots and then saw like green grass on my phone and just mere, you know, like swearing like, and so that would not make for a good introductory.
Well, we'll be sure to include your Instagram on the episode show notes so people can check you out.
And, oh, I appreciate it.
You know, Sherry, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's been really great to talk to you about two places that have been really special to me, both Arizona and Hawaii. I really appreciate you sharing your experiences.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been super fun.
And that brings us to the end of this episode alongside Sherry. We extend a heartfelt thanks to her for coming on the podcast. Make sure to stay connected and follow her upcoming adventures on Instagram at Ninja Hiker Girl. Before we sign off, a huge shout out and thanks to you, our incredible listeners, for growing my podcast beyond my wildest dreams. As season 3 closes alongside the summer hiking season, we're excited for fall here in the Pacific Northwest. Not just for hiking, but also to share the amazing lineup of guests for season 4, premiering Monday, October 2nd. New episodes will be dropping every Monday, with occasional bonus episodes on Fridays. To ensure you never miss out on any thrilling tales, remember to hit the like and subscribe button. Your support means the world to us. Don't forget to join our vibrant community on Instagram at Hikes and Mikes. We'll be sharing episode visuals, my own personal hiking content, and so much more. Let's stay connected and continue to inspire each other on this remarkable journey. As we bid farewell, remember to tread those happy trails, embrace the great outdoors, and keep the spirit of adventure alive. Until next time, my fellow explorers, happy hiking. A special shout out goes to our incredible audio editor, Alex, whose exceptional skills and dedication help bring each and every episode to life week after week. Thank you, Alex, for your invaluable contribution to the Hikes and Mikes podcast. This episode's music was created by Ketza. Follow him on Instagram at Ketza Music. This episode is brought to you by Flip Socks. Whether you're on the trail, on the job, or in the yard, Flip Socks will keep Mother Nature out of your boots with their innovative nylon sleeve. You no longer need to worry about any annoying debris getting trapped in your boots during your hikes. Simply flip down the nylon sleeve over any boot to prevent Mother Nature from finding its way inside, keeping your feet comfortable all day long. To get your first pair, visit flipsockswithaz.com and enter promo code HikesMikes10 at checkout to receive 10% off your order. And for listeners who use the promo code at checkout, I'll be donating 100% of the Season 2 promo code proceeds to Big City Mountaineers, who provide transformative experiences through connections to nature that strengthen life skills and build community for youth and disinvested communities across the nation. So if you're tired of bits and pieces of the trail finding its way into your hiking boots, pick up a pair of Flip Socks today with the promo code HikesMikes10 to get 10% off. For website and promo code, see the episode description.